Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from St. Matthew chapter 13. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, again, so thankful that we get to gather either in person or online to hear your life-giving word. Send your Holy Spirit to work through the word that is spoken, to work in our hearts, to work in our lives, all to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray this. Amen. Well, we're in week four of a six-week series called This is the Kingdom. We've been looking at these parables, these stories that Jesus has been telling, where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and it's kind of comparing two things, one beside another. And we've been looking at the parable of the sower, the watershed parable that starts it all off. And then we looked at the parable of the growing seed, how it just grows all by itself. Last week, we looked at a very challenging parable, the wheat and the weeds, and how they continue to grow together until the harvest. Today, we're going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven together. Now, to kind of get us started off, welcome back. I know this shelter in place has been challenging. Now people are starting to get out, and here in Illinois, I think we're doing a pretty good job. So good job there. But it was even just a few weeks ago that we were trying to figure out what else can we do during this shelter in place. We've gone through the gamut. Our family played a lot of games, and I hope you guys played a lot of games to kind of just pass the time at home. But we also were searching for things to, you know, watch on TV, any movies, any TV shows. And it just so happened that we came across something that my daughter, Grace, and I ended up watching, her for the first time, I watching again. It's actually been 10 years since it came out. It's a movie called Inception. Has anyone ever heard of that movie before? No? Okay, yeah? All right. Basic plot, and I'm not giving it any away. I highly recommend that you watch it. Basic plot is a man named Cobb who is a professional thief, except he doesn't break into your house and steal things. He breaks into your dreams, and he steals information in those dreams. But as crazy as that sounds, the whole thing about the title Inception is actually he is hired to do a job, to go into someone's dreams and to actually place an idea within the dream. And the reason he's going to do this is that even this small, tiny idea that's placed inside someone's dream, when they wake up, it will be so powerful that it will change everything about the way they do their life. So that was the whole point of Inception. Small idea placed in a dream, and everything changes for that person's life. And that's kind of the idea behind these two parables that Jesus is speaking here. Now, you have to remember that before he speaks these, he just tells the parable of the weeds and the wheat. And that is a very kind of lengthy, complex, got multiple things going on. But then he follows it up with these two very simple stories. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. And it's the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it's larger than all the garden plants, becomes a tree, and birds come and nest in it. And then he immediately follows it up with a one-verse story. Kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Quite simple, right? Yeah, and yet not exactly. If you kind of start taking a deeper look at these parables, you start noticing something. The mustard seed is not the tiniest seed ever. It's small enough, but it's the smallest of, say, garden seeds. And that when you actually put it in the ground, you lose sight of it. It's gone. You don't know where it went. But then Jesus says that this grows up to be as big as a tree. And that's not entirely true. It grows to about, at its highest height, about 10 feet. But you notice what Jesus is saying here. Something so small can have this huge outcome. Same thing with the leaven. Little tiny bit of yeast, but look how much flour there is. 3 measures of flour. That's about 40 liters of flour. And that yeast, that small bit of yeast, works all the way through that flour. So that it's calculated at the end of it, you have 101 pounds of dough to cook with. Now, I was thinking, what is this woman going to do with 101 pounds of dough? That's a lot. But again, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying just a little bit is going to have a big impact. Now, what's the hidden meaning of these parables? Well, once again, Jesus is talking about his ministry. And he is declaring to everyone that the kingdom of heaven can be found in Jesus and his ragtag bunch of disciples. Yes, the very reign of heaven, the kingdom of God, is found in this wandering rabbi and his disciples. And even though that just doesn't seem like much for this big kingdom of heaven, even though it seems kind of small and insignificant, Jesus promises that it will be bigger and greater than anyone could possibly imagine. That's what he's saying. But the fact of the matter was that many people were not impressed with Jesus. Oh, sure. He was doing all kinds of, you know, miracles and preaching with boldness, something they'd never heard. And yet, opposition was rising. And people were scratching their heads and saying, well, when's he going to do, you know, the big stuff? When's he going to kick out Rome so we can reestablish our land? When is he going to do that? What's he doing here if he is our so-called king? Oh, yeah. Many people were unimpressed. They thought that Jesus and his ministry were just, it was too small. It was too insignificant. It was not that big. They wanted something bigger. They wanted something better. They wanted something more impressive. And it makes me wonder, when we look at the ministry of Jesus today, in us and through us, I wonder if we often look at it in the same way. It often seems to be too small, too insignificant, doesn't have enough power or meaning to actually do what we want it to do or what we expect it to do. You know, we don't believe that a little bit of water, few words spoken, can actually completely change a person's life. You know, we don't believe that just a few words spoken to someone or a few words spoken in a prayer is going to do anything to affect what's going on in our world right now. All of the evil, all of the unrest that's going on in our nation, all of the violence and the hatred. Really? Just words? That's all we've got? We don't believe that our offering is going to make much of an impact, no matter how big or little it is. I mean, really, what is this going to do? We end up not believing that our service is really going to help people in need who are desperate for hope. And so when we start believing this, we start believing the opposite. We start believing that, you know, the ministry of Jesus has got to be, it's got to be bigger. It's got to be better. It's got to be a lot more impressive. We got to get the numbers in, right? We've got to get huge worship services because then that will impact people. We have to make sure that we have these huge events that draw the crowds. We have to make sure that we pile on more and more money and cash to get things done around here, to actually have lasting effect. Our prayers then have to become these long, eloquent things. We have to speak our faith to people in such a way that they can't resist us. And when we serve, we're going to serve in such a way that we're going to completely eradicate the need. Or else. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing any of these things at all. But what tends to happen is that we start to believe it's a better way or the only way that the ministry of Jesus can become as big as a mustard seed plant, can leaven the whole lump, can truly expand the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And yet Jesus promises that even though his ministry may seem small and insignificant, it will yield fruit as big as a tree. It will work itself through all of the flower. It will do more than you and I could possibly imagine or dream of. And we know this is true because we see it in Jesus himself. I mean, think about it. When Jesus came among us, this is the Son of God ruling over all of creation. And what did he do? He came down to us in the most small, insignificant way as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. And then he grew up, not in Jerusalem, not in the capital. He grew up in backwater Nazareth. And even when he started his public ministry, I mean, he could have done so much. He's the Son of God. But instead, you know, he cast out some demons here. He healed some people here. He preached the word of God. And yet, people rejected him. They turned their backs on him. They deserted him. And eventually, we see what seems to be the most ineffective ministry tactic that we could ever possibly imagine. He was crucified. He's hanging there on a cross, bleeding, dying, whipped, mocked, spit upon, and eventually he gives up his last breath. Huh. How small and insignificant can you get? And yet look what happens. All sin is gone. It's gone. It's taken away. All sin in the past, all sin in the present, all sin in the future, it's gone. And look at death. Death is defeated right there. Death itself, whether you die from the coronavirus, whether you die from complications from another disease, or whether you just die when it's God's time to take you, death was defeated. Because he rose from the dead, giving you and me eternal new life. Why? Because we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father forever. Little yields a lot. And he continues to yield a lot with a little, right? Because Jesus brings all of this wonderful blessings to you in a little bit of water. And a little, few little words. He brings it to you through words. Words, ink on a page. Words spoken. Sometimes not exactly eloquently, haltingly even. But he brings the very kingdom and the reign of heaven to you. He brings it in a tiny wafer of bread. A little cup of wine. It's not even a meal. But that brings his body and blood for your forgiveness, for your eternal life, for your salvation. Yes, Jesus yields a lot with a little. And he does it through you and me. Don't believe me? Let me give you an example, a very well-known example. The conversion of Saint Paul. In Acts chapter 9. Now, remember, he was known as Saul before that, right? He persecuted Christians. He was killing them. He was hauling them into jail. He was breaking apart families. And then he was on his way to Damascus to seek them out until this huge light shone in the sky and he was knocked flat to the ground. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" "Well, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And then he told them to go into Damascus and await further instruction. Now, you would think that something as big and impressive and magnificent as the risen and glorified risen Lord Jesus Christ appearing to Paul right there would be enough. No, it actually terrified him. He had scales on his eyes. It wasn't until the Lord sent Ananias to the house where Paul was staying. And it was just these, maybe some terrifying words, just, "Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me to let you know that he loves you, that he forgives you all of your sin." And then he baptizes him. Not much, just a few words, just a little water. But it was just that little action that lit a fire under Paul that sent him with the gospel to the ends of the earth. So brothers and sisters in Christ, even if you think your ministry is a little small and insignificant, trust me, Jesus can yield a lot with a little. He can. He can forgive your sin when you simply come back to your baptism. When you speak the word of God to others, guess what? Jesus is working through those words to strengthen faith, to forgive sin, to empower love. It may not seem like you're doing much, but trust me, Jesus is doing a lot. When you pray, sometimes you just don't even know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for you. Jesus is interceding for you. And that prayer is powerful. And when you give your offering, when you serve, it may not seem like much sometimes. But trust me, through Jesus, it is going to do way more than you can possibly imagine. Because this is the kingdom. A little yields a lot, whether it's an idea in a dream, a mustard seed that grows into a tree, a little leaven going through the whole lump, a death on a cross, and a resurrection to change the world, and words and deeds done in the name and power of Jesus Christ that will change the world as well. Amen.